Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. As we near the end of a tumultuous month for British politics, the UK's troubles still show no sign of abating just yet. Instead, there promises to be plenty of plotting and intrigue yet to come. And that's just the next Tory leadership contest. Appearing on The Andrew Marr Show, the Brexit Secretary David Davis tried to steady the ship.
Would it be catastrophic for our Brexit negotiations for the Tory party now to have a leadership contest?
Yes. Yes. So, let me be absolutely plain about this. Number one, I happen to think we've got a very good Prime Minister. I know she's coming under a lot of pressure at the moment, but I've seen her in action. I've seen a number of Prime Ministers in operation over the years. I go right back to Margaret Thatcher. And I think she's very good. She makes good decisions. She's bold. She takes her time. There's no essay crisis about this government. It's very, very, very clear that she's a good Prime Minister. That's point number one. Point number two is I want a stable backdrop to this Brexit negotiation. It's hard work, by the way.
So what's your message to those Tories who are already ruffling around in the rhododendrons muttering about leadership challenges and groups and who's going to take on who?
Don't be so self-indulgent is my message to those in terms. Stop being so self-indulgent, get on with the day job, which is that people put us here to deliver, well, amongst other things, deliver a decent economy, to deliver a decent life for them, and of course to deliver Brexit in order to deliver all those things. So, you know, the more you do of that, the more self-indulgent nonsense you go in for, the more difficult you make it to do our proper job.
But the self-indulgence is coming from David Davis supporters too. You were at a meeting where there was one of the MPs there said, you should be our next Prime Minister, and there was either a great swell of applause or a scattering of applause, depending on who you read.
And I said afterwards, our job is to support the Prime Minister and make Brexit work, not anything else.
That's admirably clear. So you could say, like Boris Johnson, you're not going to stand against her until Brexit is done. Probably not ever.
I'm not going to get into it. I said it's self-indulgent. Even frankly, the fact that we spent 2 minutes on it is self-indulgent.
Only 2 minutes.
It's still 2 minutes too long.
One leadership battle that has already featured highly on the political radar this year is that for the post of General Secretary of Unite, Britain's largest trade union. Gerard Coyne was defeated by incumbent Len McCluskey and has since seen himself suspended from the union before being sacked from his regional secretary role on Tuesday. Coyne told Andrew Neil that other prominent left-wingers could suffer a similar fate.
But Len McCluskey has been re-elected leader. Jeremy Corbyn, as we saw in our film, now rules the Labour Party unchallenged. Andrew Murray, who you say mounted the show trial against you, was a key part of Mr Corbyn's election campaign. I mean, it does look like you've lost on all fronts.
The reality is that Jeremy did exceptionally well in the general election. He reached out to new voters, he got young people involved. And it's not about a left or right issue in terms of the party, it's about where the party now goes. My fear is that the way that I've been treated will actually start to give an influence in the Labour movement more generally in the Labour Party that starts to look as though purges are acceptable. The truth is, if Labour does that, the electorate will never forgive them for an internal battle rather than being the effective opposition that they need to be.
So are you saying, just to be clear, that what you believe happened to you could happen to other people now in the Labour Party itself?
I think there's a real danger of that. The reality is that the people who were involved at the very top of Unite, that were involved in the disciplinary process with myself, they are significant and influential figures in Labour. And part of my campaign was about the fact that Unite is too intrinsically linked at the top of the Labour Party, and actually what we need to be focusing on is a much stronger industrial agenda for the future.
Debbie Abrahams, Labour's Shadow Work and Pensions Secretary, found herself facing a slightly thorny issue over Labour's welfare proposals. Abrahams was forthright about her intentions to abolish the government's welfare cap, but a little less sure-footed on the costs.
This week, we had a High Court ruling that it was unlawful and discriminatory to have a welfare cap on single parents, single families with children under the age of two. Mm-hmm. The Conservatives are going to appeal against that ruling. Mm. Labour's position, presumably, is you just get rid of that cap.
Absolutely. Well, we would get rid of the... we would make sure that we're holding the ruling from the court decision on Thursday. We already know we have 4 million children living in poverty. This is just adding to it. Our position is that it needs to change.
Can I ask you about the overall household cap? At the moment, there is an absolute limit to the amount of money you can get from welfare per household of £20,000 outside London, £23,000 inside London. Would you remove that cap?
We recognise that for some people listening to this, that might seem an awful lot of money. But the reality is what I've just said, the implications for people on the poorest circumstances, the implications around child poverty, which affects children not just while they're young, but for the rest of their lives. It affects how their brains develop and everything.
So the answer is yes, that cap would go.
We would be looking to see how we do that.
Right, because how much would that cost to remove that cap, do you know?
We haven't costed it yet, but we know that, for example, the court ruling is about £50 million. So it's not an astronomical figure. And we need to make sure, when we're talking about ending austerity, Andrew, this is about making it fair. It's not right that 4 million children, three quarters of whom are living in working families, are subject to poverty.
With the Conservatives still trying to reach an agreement with the DUP, matters concerning Northern Ireland are finding more prominence than usual. Labour backbencher Stella Creasy spoke to Sophie Ridge about an amendment she is proposing to the Queen's speech. The change would allow women from Northern Ireland to receive abortions in other countries of the UK.
This month, our Secretary of State Jeremy Hunt went to the High Court to defend his right to refuse to let Northern Irish women have an abortion if they come to England and Wales for that procedure. So let me be very clear. This amendment is not about the rights and wrongs of the Northern Irish Assembly in deciding that they do not want women in Northern Ireland to be able to access abortion in Northern Ireland. This is about what happens when UK taxpayers come to England and Wales. It seems to me completely unacceptable that a woman can come from Northern Ireland to England and maybe need an emergency appendix operation, and we'll do that for free. But if she comes for an abortion, the doors are closed and we treat her as a second-class citizen. And what the court said is, absolutely, we are discriminating against United Kingdom citizens. Now, the government says they're doing this out of respect for the Northern Irish Assembly, but what about respect for UK taxpayers? What about respect for Northern Irish citizens when they're in England and Wales? Why do we treat them differently in this way?
Now, you're trying to say that this is about what happens when people travel over to England, to Wales, to Scotland, not about what happens in Northern Ireland. But, of course, the reason that they're travelling over is because of the abortion laws in Northern Ireland. And it just seems interesting that nothing's been done by Labour before on this. In 2008, Harriet Harman actually blocked moves in Parliament to liberalise abortion laws in Northern Ireland. So,
what's so critical is that we've had this judgment on the 14th of June that says that our Secretary of State has the power to let these women have an abortion in England and Wales if they wish to do that. The courts are very clear that the Secretary of State has a right to do this. So this is about the judgment that's been made this month and what happens as a result of it. I think there's also a question for all of us. Look, the DUP has form for intervening, a kind of reverse devolution. We know and we understand from Scotland that DUP politicians were trying to stop Northern Irish people who were part of a civil partnership having their marriage recognised in Scotland. Again, this is not about what happens in Northern Ireland. This is about what happens on our shores. And frankly, if the government is going to try and keep Nigel Dodds and Theresa May in the same voting lobby, what does this mean for the kind of policies that we might not see progress on? This judgment calls for all of us as UK politicians to ask whether our courts are giving us the power to help these women and to treat every UK woman with equality and fairness.
And finally, the one-time governor of Hong Kong and Tory grandee Chris Patten told Robert Peston in no uncertain terms what he thought about the current state of the country after the muddled Tory general election campaign and the outcome of the Brexit referendum.
In your conscious lifetime, can you remember any period as chaotic, in some ways as tragic, as the period we're living through?
Well, the 70s weren't great because we wondered whether Britain was still governable. Because of the abuse of trade union power, which the Wilson government, the Callaghan government, and then a Conservative government tried to deal with. But I think in some ways this is worse. And I think it's the worst time since Suez, though maybe even worse than that, because Suez was the end of an era. It was the end of our colonial aspirations. Had the knees cut from under us, the legs cut from under us by the Americans. This was Europe, the European Union, was our replacement for that colonial role. And thanks to the calamitous errors of two Conservative prime ministers in a row, who thought that they could manage the unmanageable English nationalist right wing of the Conservative Party, were in this hell of a mess. And it exposes all sorts of other things. I mean...
Well, can I just ask you, you talk a bit about Heath in this book, don't you? And he was not somebody who particularly liked engaging with papal. In the sort of jargon...
He wasn't a
people
person, certainly.
Exactly. Now, Theresa May is not really a people person. One of the striking things about the election is how uncomfortable she always seemed to be, either in media interviews, but actually, more strikingly, when out talking to people on the streets. Do you understand why somebody becomes a politician? In fact, how they get to the top of a
It's like becoming a doctor and not liking the sight of blood. I mean, it's very odd that people go into politics and, unlike somebody like Bill Clinton, don't actually like people very much. I don't think it's very seemly to dance on Theresa May's grave. I don't think she was what the stock market would call a stronghold. But why is that the case? It's the case because... So if she goes, there's chaos. There's chaos in the Conservative Party and there's probably chaos in Parliament. And what we've done, thanks to a completely lamentable election campaign, is to make Jeremy Corbyn into a political giant. I mean, he's not a bad man, but political giant, I have my doubts.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffeehouse Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And for the chance to receive a special introductory offer of 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, as well as full online access, just visit spectator.co.uk/subscribe.